Emergency live stream. North Carolina head coach Roy Williams announced on today of all days, on April Fool's Day, roughly 17 minutes ago, that he will be retiring. It appears to be real. I don't think that this is fake, Jeff. I don't know why today of all days to be the day that he announces he's retiring. But Roy Williams, his career as basketball coach and his career as the head coach of the University of North Carolina is now over. What do you know?
Well, I know he's been frustrated, you know, and I think he's not alone. I mean, there's a lot of coaches right now that are getting up there in years that are a little bit frustrated at where the sport is going, right? I mean, they just threw a pandemic and having to deal with this season, which wasn't easy. You've got the transfer portal, which already has over 1,000 names. You've got name, image, likeness coming in. I think Roy felt like this was the right time to go. This was the right time to go. He loves playing golf. He'll hang out with his wife, Wanda. His health has gotten better lately in terms of his hips and knees and everything. So I think this was the right time for Roy Williams. They hadn't been great lately, let's face it. And I think he wanted to go out on top if he could. But I think he also realized it was going to be tough to do so. There was plenty of speculation that some players – you know, on that team are going to turn pro or going to maybe transfer. And Roy Williams, the one thing when I talked to Roy over the years, the one thing that he was so proud of was the fact that nobody transferred out of Carolina, like ever. Like, because I kept the transfer list. So every time I'd see him in the offseason and in the summer, we'd talk about it. And again, it was something that he would kind of hang his hat on. Everybody else has transfers. But at Carolina, we don't have guys leave. And now it's different now. And I think, again, at 70 years old, he felt like this was the right time to go. And, you know, three national titles, done an incredible job, probably never quite got the credit he deserves as a coach, Rob. But again, you know, Kansas, Carolina, two of the greatest jobs in college basketball history. He's held them both for, you know, a combined, what, 33 years, 15 at Kansas, 18 at Carolina, and we'll miss him. I mean, listen, we've had some big-time guys leave lately, you know, Lon Kruger and now Roy Williams in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, and it's also one of those things where we saw this a little bit with Lon Kruger too, where there had been speculation in recent years that these guys are considering retiring and the end of their career is coming soon. I remember that I think it was 2 or 3 years ago, Roy flipped out because Doug Gottlieb made a reference to the fact that he might be retiring at some point soon, which is something that anybody in the college basketball world had heard. And based off of what has happened in the last year, like, I think there's a lot of people that have realized, like, I've made enough money. I can go and live my life. I don't have to keep working. And if this is not something where I'm doing great at it and I don't love it, there's things beyond life. There's things in life beyond working, right? I guess the phrase is, do you work to live or do you live to work? And when you're a college basketball coach, you often live to work, whereas you don't live to enjoy life. It's not necessarily surprising that there are some guys that have just decided after the year that we've had, you know what? I don't need to do this anymore. I can move on. I can find something better to do with my life. I can find something more entertaining to do with my life. I'm sure he's still going to be able to be around that program. But if you're going to tell me after the year that we just had, if you could just kind of say, hey, Rob, you can kind of tangentially be around college basketball, but you know what, you could just kind of go out, hang out and live your life and retire on the money that you made. Like, I don't have enough money to do that, but it's something that I would very strongly consider. It doesn't seem like too bad of
a lot of it is the frustration of where college basketball is headed. And again, think about these guys and they're all about amateur sports. They're all about how it's been over the years. And all of a sudden they know this thing is going to flip soon next year. And they've got to say the right things, right? Whether it's Kay, whether it's Roy, if you don't say you're in support of players getting some level of compensation, you're not going to get the players. And Roy, you could tell how hard it is for some of these guys to say it because they don't believe it. But ultimately, again, for recruiting, they have no choice. So I think now Roy's like, all right, I'm out. I can say what I want now. I don't have to play the game right now and act like I'm good with all these transfers, with players getting paid. Now, again, maybe he is okay with part of it, but they don't know where it's going and how messy this is going to be and how difficult it's going to be to navigate. It just adds another layer of stuff that they have to deal with beyond coaching basketball. And I think that's ultimately, again, he might have been ready in the next year or two, but I think this sped up the process for Roy, and I think it'll speed it up for guys like Coach K and Boeheim. I think you're going to see them go here in the next year or two because of name, image, likeness.
Yeah, and the changes that are going to come with that, and we'll see how big those changes ended up being. But it does feel like, based off the way that some of the stuff with SCOTUS yesterday, the way that went at the Supreme Court was feels like we're trending in a certain direction. We'll see where that ends up leading to. All right, let's go into this, because I think this is far more interesting than anything about like just reacting to Roy retiring. Who gets that job? Because that's one of the top, if it's not the best job in college basketball, it's one of the best jobs in college basketball.
Yeah, I mean, however you want to play it, you could say Kentucky, you could say Kansas, you can say Carolina. I think it's probably one of those three. But the thing here, you got Bubba Cunningham, an AD who's not a part of the family, who's going to be heavily involved in the hiring. Obviously, you're going to consult with Roy Williams here. It's his program and has been, you know, with the late Dean Smith, for the last 30 or so, 40 years. So I think ultimately you're going to try to look in the family first if you can. Now, there aren't a lot of incredibly accomplished guys at the highest level that are in the family. You know, you've got a couple of assistants that could be in the equation, one being Hubert Davis, who played there, who starred there, who's on the staff now. Could they go with him? Sure, absolutely they could go with Hubert Davis, and it wouldn't surprise me at all. I'm not sure it's the right call, but he's in the mix. Wes Miller is the one that I think most people are going to have momentum for. You know, played at Carolina, grinded out, has been at UNC Greensboro, has taken them to a couple NCAA tournaments, including one this year. Young, energetic, tough, loves Roy. I mean, absolutely. I've known Wes since he was, 16, 17 years old. I mean, you will never hear him say a bad word about Roy or that program. And I think Wes is certainly somebody that's going to be high atop their list of those that they have to consider. Because, again, the lineage, being part of the family, is so important to Carolina, probably as important to Carolina as any program in the country. And, again, I think you got to get the right guy, because when you go the wrong way, even within the family, you saw what happened with Matt Daugherty. You know, I think you got to be very, very careful right now to get the right guy if you're Carolina. And I would say, to me, I think Wes Miller is the right guy.
Yeah, Wes Miller seems like the guy that's going to get all the momentum. The prevailing thought, at least from the people that I talked to, was when it looked like this decision from Roy was a couple years away, they were waiting for Wes Miller to jump at something a little bit bigger, because going from UNC Greensboro to UNC Chapel Hill is a pretty big step up in level. And if you're a great coach, you're a great coach, and I don't think it really matters what level you're at. But there very much is a difference in navigating the recruiting waters if you are trying to bring players to a SoCon school versus the flagship program in the state of North Carolina, Nike's flagship program, and a program in the ACC that is battling every year with Duke and Kansas and Kentucky and Oregon, all these other power conference schools for players. So that's something to keep in mind. I don't think it's a deal breaker. I think it just means you have to have a certain kind of staff built out for Wes Miller to be able to get what he needs to get. The other name that I feel like is in the family that probably makes the most sense at this point is Jared Haas. But based off of the way that Stanford seasons have gone in recent years, when they've had a certain level of expectation, I don't know if Jared Haas can get it at this point. You know, like get it. He's done a good job, a decent enough job at Stanford. But it's also like when you had the players that he had this season and last season, I think you would have expected a little bit more than what Stanford was actually able to accomplish on the court. So we'll see there. Hubert Davis is another name that I keep hearing. I wonder, though, Like, is it a guarantee that they are going to stay in the family with this? They are going to stay with somebody from Carroll?
With Bubba Cunningham being the head the AD, it's not a guarantee. But again, Carolina is different. They're different. All those former players are going to want him to stay in the family. There's going to be a lot of pressure to Bubba Cunningham to make sure he keeps it in the family. This isn't telling you, this is just a different deal than so many programs. Like at Arizona, if something happens to Sean Miller, there'll be pressure, but not at the same level there is at Carolina. All these guys go back every single year. So, yeah, you can make a run at Brad Stevens like Indiana did. And obviously Carolina is a much better program than Indiana. Indiana fans don't want to hear that, but it's true. Again, Carolina is a top three program in the country. Tony Bennett, yeah, you make a run at Tony Bennett. Why not, right? See if he – but I think they're going to start with Carolina guys and say, do we have a guy here that can do this thing at the highest level? Do we have a guy we like? And then if they feel like, okay, you know what, Wes Miller isn't ready, then maybe they look at some of those other guys. But I think they start with the family at this point and figure out Hubert Davis, Wes Miller, Brett Haas, maybe even a Steve Robinson. You know, do you look at, King Rice? He hasn't done enough lately. He had Monmouth going a little bit there for a minute. Jerry Stackhouse, I'm sure, will try his best, but I don't think that's going to happen. Larry Brown will probably try, but he's 80 years old, so that would be ridiculous, and he's put everybody on probation, so I don't know why you'd even – you know, Larry Brown probably – if the right guy gets it, do they bring on Larry Brown in a Fab Mata-esque role as a consultant? Maybe. I could see that. Personally, I wouldn't have him anywhere around my program right now with him putting other programs on probation as much as he has, right?
So the one that's actually kind of interesting to me, which you're not going to want to hear, is Jerry Stackhouse. Because I think the issue that at least you had with Jerry Stackhouse at Vanderbilt was the staff he hired and the ability he was going to have to get talent to Vanderbilt. Well, if you're Jerry Stackhouse at North Carolina, I don't think that you're going to have an issue getting talent there. And if you go back and you watch some of the stuff that he ran at Vanderbilt and some of the X's and O's and the actual on-court coaching stuff that he was able to do, I thought that he's pretty good. Like he's really good at that part of the game. So that one would be something that is actually really interesting to me in Jerry Stackhouse going to North Carolina. I don't know if based off of the seasons that he's had at Vanderbilt, he can actually get it. You know, does that make sense? Like, if you're not having success at Vanderbilt, it doesn't exactly make me think that you're guaranteed for success at North Carolina. But I do think that it's something that would be interesting, and I can talk myself into the idea that that's a path and a plan that could end up working long term.
Who would you hire if you're Bubba Cunningham? Who are you hiring?
It's tough. I think. I don't know. I honestly don't know right now. I would have to
give it more. I think at the end of the day. I've known Wes so long. I know how he's built. I know what type of person he is. He's got some fight to him because he had to grind it out to get it to where he was, obviously playing at Carolina. He was the interim coach at UNC Greensboro when Mike DeMint left and got that job. And has done a great job there. He had a chance to get Charleston and didn't. He withdrew from that job, from what I'm told. So to me, I think Wes Miller is the no-brainer here. He's young. He's energetic. He knows the landscape. He goes back all the time. He knows the area. Obviously, he doesn't know. Yeah, he hasn't recruited at the highest level. But he knows the people, the AU coaches in the area. They know him. He'll hire the right staff because, again, he's very entrenched in college basketball. So, I just think Wes Miller is the right guy.
Yeah, I think so too. What I would say is this. I would want to bring in Hubert. I would want to bring in Jerry Stackhouse and maybe a couple other candidates. And I would just want and say, here, give me the detailed plan of what you're going to do to be able to get North Carolina back to the point where it is perennially one of the top 10 teams in the country. It's a great program. they haven't been one of the top 10 teams in the country in recent seasons. So I would absolutely make sure to bring those guys in for an interview and say, sell me on it. Convince me why Jerry Stackhouse, convince me why I need to hire you as the next coach in North Carolina. Give me the entire detailed plan. Tell me who you're going to hire as a staff. Tell me how you're going to approach making sure that these kids don't transfer. Tell me how you're going to approach getting talent onto this campus. Tell me how you're going to run. Are we going to keep doing the same two bigs kind of Carolina secondary break type deal? Are you going to recruit more shooters? Are you going to start trying to play a little bit more of a modern style of basketball than Roy Williams is doing? That's come in. Sell me on it. Try to pitch me on it. Try to convince me.
I just don't know how you hire a guy who's been mediocre at best at Vanderbilt.
I agree. But if the issue is that you just can't get players onto the campus and you can't get the talent that you need to be able to succeed at the level that you want to succeed.
It's Carolina. You're going to get talent.
That's what I'm saying, which is why the part of, oh, you know what, Jerry Stackhouse, yeah, he's actually a pretty good basketball coach, and if you know you're going to get the talent in North Carolina, that's an interesting hire, and it's something where I would want to bring him in and at the very least have a real interview and try to see exactly what his plan would end up being. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I just feel like you need somebody that's going to work too. You need somebody that's going to work hard. That would be my other thing. And Wes works. He works. So like from what I've heard, Stack isn't a grinder by any means. He likes to play golf. I think Wes would take this one a little bit, more seriously is the right word, but again, would take more into. So, again, you got names, you got guys outside the family. I don't think those guys will be the first call. From what I'm told, it'll be guys in the family and see if they can go that route. But Roy Williams retires on April Fool's Day, on Rob Doster's birthday, no less. Mm-hmm. I mean, spoiling your entire birthday plans, Rob, which were to do what? I don't know. But whatever it was, now you've got to focus and be on a second pod with me talking about Roy Williams. And yeah, we're gonna miss the all the kind of Southern comments from Roy. The aw shucks, and we'll miss obviously seeing Roy around. He was always he was fun to kind of talk to. He was fun to talk to because I think the one thing with Roy, he didn't really have an air of arrogance to him when you talked to him. He would just when I broke in 20 years ago, I was like, all right, I'm never gonna get to know Roy Williams and Coach K and all these guys that were already a little bit older, right? They were in like, their mid-50s or, something like that, Boeheim. And I've actually been able to, establish a pretty good relationship with Roy over the years. Interviewed him plenty of times, hung out with him at AU events and would sit next to him. And really enjoyed talking to Roy because, again, I think there wasn't a lot of BS with Roy.
All right, so let me ask you this. There were a couple questions in the comments, and I just want your quick 15-second thoughts on them and why we haven't mentioned them yet. First and foremost, Chris Beard.
Yeah, I don't think he fits in Chapel Hill at all. I, you know me. I'll put Beard in there for a lot of jobs, but they got to fit, and I just don't think Chris Beard is the right fit for Carolina.
How about George Karl?
Too old. How old is George Karl? And he's flammable. He's super flammable. Yeah, no, no way. All right, I gotta run.
Wait, we got. All right.
No, I gotta.